Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Black Tower Broadcasting Studios, we are here to give you your weekly dose of taint. Please make sure your arms and legs are inside the car at all times. Make sure your seatbelts are properly fastened in a safe manner. You never know where this crazy train is going. Joining you live this week is myself, Josh, the Zorro von Mihail. And with me, as always, my good friend and buddy, please introduce yourself like they don't already know who you are.
Hi, I'm the resident sick boy of the Black Tower podcast. You're Bajan Mahel. I am Andrew. We are joined in spirit by Daniel, who is currently traversing the networks of either the airways or highways or roadways or byways or stairways or whatever ways he is going through. Hopefully not the tainted ways.
Yeah, not the ways, hopefully. Yeah.
He will be back with us next week. He has taken his recording stuff with him, but he is traveling starting today, I believe, to go and visit family for a couple of weeks for the holidays. So that's why we kicked him out of this episode. He is off of the Black Tower podcast.
He's gone.
Just for the time for us to do this episode. No, he's still very much with us in spirit. Just, you know, going to go do holiday things with the families and all. So should be back next week, which if you're listening to this publicly, this comes out on Christmas. So
Merry freaking Christmas.
Yeah. And a tainty new year to you as well. We do have the next episode after this, I believe, will come out on New Year's Day.
Have a tainty, tainty Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be whiskey, but have a cup of cheer.
Hey. Well, there's going to be some fucking whiskey, I promise.
Oh, there's going to be some whiskey.
But if you don't celebrate Christmas, hope that the holiday season is treating you well. Hope that your holiday that you celebrate is going well. I am not well versed in holidays, especially not as much as I used to be. And just to avoid the risk of saying a holiday name wrong or a holiday that is not celebrated during the same time frame, I'm not going to do that.
If you want a good song that covers that, you can go on YouTube and go whatever you celebrate by Real Big Fish. Fantastic song. Probably the greatest holiday song of all time. That's what I'm saying. I said what I said.
This drink is stout. I didn't have much mixer left.
That's okay. Yeah,
that's good. It'll help kill
you. Need it. You know, the bacteria. It's good for your immune system. That's right.
Guys, I have strep throat.
And he's still here. Look at the dedication.
We finished the Wada Holiday stream, which, by the way, I know for those of you listening publicly, a freaking amazing. We ended the live stream part of it just shy of our goal. I think we were like 91 or 92%. We all kind of went to bed for the night. I helped my roommate and all them celebrate their birthday, even though his birthday is actually tomorrow, but they did it this past weekend. And the next day, everybody woke up to the fantastic surprise that we had smashed the $5,000 goal. So
smashed it!
Huge shout out to everybody that participated, to Malky Rob again for doing all of the hosting, the scheduling, the staying up for 27 plus hours to facilitate everything. I think it was up even longer than that.
He's a national treasure. He's an amazing guy. I really like Rob.
But of course, thank you to all the content creators that came out and the community. You guys are what made it as successful as it was. We hope you all thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. I think there's talk of making this like an annual event. So hopefully next year donations are a bit easier coming into the holiday season, because hopefully we're all back to full work for those that may not be able to go in and work fully right now. But yes, I was able to wake up with the extra special surprise of, why does my throat feel like there's hot papers in it? Thought I was transforming into Balzamon. Nope, nothing even remotely cool like that.
Damn it.
Strep throat. And having a week off from work is cool whenever you're not paid by the hour. So that kind of sucks, but it's all good. We'll get through it. Those of you that maybe watch the video and that kind of stuff, you're going to see me putting things in my mouth like cough drops. I've got some Sepracol. However you say it?
Sepracol.
Those throat-numbing lozenges that you may be aware of for one reason or another. So I am I'm like religiously abusing those. So that's what's going
Perfect.
On.
Perfect.
Now, little housekeeping real quick, because we don't know when he's going to have to step away. Josh has done some great stuff to help out a brother of his, and that is going to necessitate that here relatively shortly that he has to step away for a bit. So what we are going to do is we're going to open it up for live chat, and I'll go back and see if I can find any of the ones that we may or may not have gotten on Twitter. And we're going to do a short Ask an Ashaman Anything to just kind of blindside Josh with some questions. And I'll probably just try to give my answers then and see if Josh comes up with anything cool that inspires my answer.
Ask an Ashaman, this is anything. You can ask about the books. You can ask for bad advice. You can ask for good advice. I probably won't give you good advice, but this is happening.
Yeah. You can ask literally anything. And if it's something that we just don't feel that comfortable answering, then we'll just tell you like, I can't answer that. At least not in a recorded format. So this wasn't planned for this episode. We plan to do a bigger one as part of a live stream, but things have been just stupid busy.
Things have been crazy.
So, if you're listening live and you know there's other people that have the ability to listen live right now, meaning that they're patrons and stuff, feel free to let them know that we're going to be doing that whenever Josh has to step away, probably within the next 20 to 30 minutes,
yeah,
if it even takes that long.
Yeah, so think up something good, okay? I don't want to come back to, do you think that Rand is good with a sword? Okay, because yes. He is.
Do you think Jill will ever find her true love? Jake's lonely and out walking the cornfields again.
You think Brent Spiner will ever find that wiener card? That is an ancient reference that maybe you guys maybe don't get. But
question
Brent Spiner
two,
before he
is
was
dubstep
Data,
still a thing?
Yes.
That's a more recent one. I love dubstep. So, but if you see me doing weird things with mouth, it's because I'm moving like cough drops or whatever.
Around. Okay. So it is time. So I'm going to step away.
No, it's not. Oh. Well, it will be time in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. So I'm going to step away. Make sure you guys have some really great questions. And this is going to be fun. All right. I'll be right back.
So literally you can ask us anything. You think I would know what I'm doing, but I don't. That wasn't already abundantly obvious. Don't know exactly how long he's going to be gone. So basically what happened, if you're curious as to why he had to step away, was his brother wanted to adopt a dog for the family. And to help facilitate that, Josh and Adrian went and they got the dog. And the dog's been at their house. And now his brother is there for them to meet the dog and everything. So he's going and dealing with that. It's just been a fucking crazy week.
I can hear you talking shit. Talking that shit.
We got a lot of questions, and
this is going to be fun.
Apparently, I'm only supposed to use one of these lozenges once every 2 hours, so if I just, like, full-on go, like, stroke mouth because I can't feel it, like, post-dentist, I'm sorry. For those of you that are wondering why we suddenly skipped to looking like we do now, which isn't that much different, we didn't magically get prettier. Josh had to step away for a bit to do some family stuff. Shut the fuck up. So we open it up for those that listen live, our Patreons, to ask random questions about anything they wanted at all. Josh has not seen the questions yet. I have, but I have the memory of a fucking goldfish with Alzheimer's. So, yeah. So I'm going to ask
an Ashaman.
Yeah. So this is like a preview of a live stream we'll be doing eventually as soon as we can get it coordinated out. But, I'll ask the questions. Some of them Josh will answer first. Some of them I will answer first. And that's how we'll do this lovely thing. So,
and I have not seen any of the questions. I am going into this blind.
Yep. So the first one that came out, let me make sure this is the first one. This is the first one. Hot Morshadi or Sexy Morshadi, whichever way you want to say it. Axiom came out shot. Trying to put a Thakandar blade straight to my heart with is men actually a sexy lamp?
That son of a bitch. I will say this. Person. She's definitely sexy. And she shines light on things. But her value is infinitely more than that of a simple, attractive lamp.
My answer is very simple, in case you didn't already know. My answer is no. I want to see why. We did a whole episode a while back on why men is not a sexy lamp. And I've mentioned it 1,001 times.
The chat is going wild.
Which is funny, because you can see all that right now. I can't, because I'm keeping track of the questions.
Hey, all right.
So this one is from Snakes and Foxes. How long was Rand constipated before his release on Dragon Mountain, Veins of Gold? I am going to say at least 3 weeks.
Oh, boy.
3 weeks before he turned Veins of Gold into Veins of Brown.
I'll concur. Because I would say that he was still constipated even at Veins of Gold, though.
Yeah, the question is, how long had he been constipated once he reached that point?
He just got a little bit of relief at that point in time. No pun intended.
He only squeezed out one little nug. All right. So Malkier's sexiest chef, a.k.a. Rob, a.k.a. Malkier Talks, a.k.a. Malkiri Rob, a.k.a. third best swordsman in Malkier, asked, who is Andrew's favorite, Josh or Daniel?
Me, of course. Duh.
I'm gonna leave that open-ended. I love you both equally. It's you. It's you.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I couldn't choose between the guys. I really couldn't, honestly.
We're a trio. We are simpatico. We stand equal. We stand united.
Yeah. Let's see. Morshadi asks, what personas would each character be? So let's keep it down to our Edmund Fielder 5.
Okay.
So let's just go with the Edmund Fielder 5. Unless the question was, what persona would the three of us be? But I think it's characters, so.
After watching the Lan, so at Malkier's King on Twitter, he did a weekly wheel news segment where he asked the question, is Perrin a bear brother? So I'm going to say that Perrin's persona is a bear. That's happening. I'm going there. Matt, obvious, he's a badger. Honey badger, even. I'd say he's a honey badger. Rand. See, it'd be easy to be obvious and say he's not a furry, he's a scaly, and he's a dragon. But I don't want to go there. I want this to be something. So I'm going to say that Rand is a ram, like a sheep, but with horns, like a ram. So Rand is a ram. Nynaeve is a cat. Come on. She'd be a cat. Egwene would be a lemur. She's a lemur, definitely.
Hopping through the woods one day.
Right.
Stephen Michael saw something strange. Leaping lemur like to bounce and play. They follow their new bouncing friends. Such a good show. Sapumafu.
And now it's like the Crazy Kratts or something like that. They changed it. Same people, but different format. You got to change with the times. Yeah. Let's see. Moiraine and Lan. Moiraine is a turtle, la tortuga, because she's wise and slow to act. And Lon is a hedgehog. Because he can blade it up like nobody. Boom.
Okay. Okay. I don't know much about first.
No, Lon's a porcupine. A porcupine, not a hedgehog.
I was going to ask that question.
Hedgehogs are way too cute. Lon isn't cute.
Like little half spiky cupcakes.
Oh, okay. Malkyrie Rob in the chat has just brought up that Lon is a panther. Because cats do be loving them Aes Sedais. I got to say, that's a good one.
Except for Nynaeve, apparently. At least early on.
Every there's an exception to every rule.
Well, let's see. Oh. For Perrin and Matt, I feel like I kind of have to go with the obvious. Because I think when you think of wolves and foxes, I think that what I think of them fits. Wolves in a pack, they generally won't go out of their way to attack anything they don't see as a threat that isn't a threat right. to them, unless they have to for food and that kind of stuff. So I think Perrin would be a wolf. I think Matt would be a fox because he is very nimble, very sneaky, also very cunning.
I like it.
You know, sly as a fox. Got to move my lodges. One side of my tongue's going numb. Rand. What's something that is just angsty and angry all the time for no fucking reason? I'm not good with animals.
I don't know, man.
What's an animal that's like not an insect? That's just stereotypically very angry. Will attack anything.
Honey badger. You
know, yeah, I'm going to go with honey badger. I'm going to say Rand is the honey badger. Because there's so much of the time that people are like, well, here's this advice that could actually happen. I don't give a fuck. Back the fuck up.
Right.
Nynaeve. I would still kind of in the line with Cat, but I'd say a lynx.
Okay.
Kind of more specifically, a little bit more dangerous of a cat. Can be fiercely independent, that kind of stuff. Like until it. Somebody proves me wrong that that's not what a lynx is, but all right. a Egwene. What would a Egwene be? I'm going to say a Egwene would be like a bobcat. Very strong, very, very willful animals. Underrated in the amount of danger that they can that they pose to people.
That's a valid point.
And very, very like calculative. They really calculate what they're going to do. They stalk from the trees and any kind of high ground and pounce when it's an opportune moment. And I think that Egwene is very good at doing that. We see that in Saladar. Spoilers for anybody because we haven't given a spoiler warning.
We see that in the tower as well, late in the game. Like, we see she does really great jobs with that. Yeah. So that's an apt description. I like that.
Moraine. Going to go with, I don't know why I'm throwing barn on it, but I'm going to say barn owl.
I was about to say, she could be an owl as well.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. A lot of that was inspired from Rob putting in that Rand is a grumpy old owl.
My answer was inspired by the Neverending Story when Atreyu had to go seek the wisdom of one of the things, and it was a gigantic turtle.
All I can think of with Atreyu is the band.
Which is a great band.
Yeah. For Lon?
Bring it home. Bring it strong. Come correct.
Well, I'm trying to think, and I can't think of anything that would better fit of the animals I can think of right now than like a panther.
Yeah. That's a good one. It really
I think
is.
That's a really good one. So yeah, I think we're going to go with that.
Perfect.
All right. What time are we at? How many more questions do you think we should do? Three?
Three.
All right, we'll do three more. I've got one from Rob, but I'm going to save that one for last. That'll be the third one. So this one is from Snakes and Foxes. Josh, if you had to choose to give up either your children or your Traeger smoker grill, which one?
Traeger. Easy. Hands down. And here's why. Because
if you clump the kids together, they can also smoke the meat. Yeah, that's true.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Imagine it's something far more wholesome. Like, you can buy another grill. You can't buy more.
Actually,
children.
What I was going to say is I know how to smoke meat without a Traeger. Traeger's just makes it easier. So, but I we had a guy. So when I was active duty, it's military story time. When I was active duty, we had a guy who every once in a while would bring in a smoker and just smoke up a shit ton of meat for us. And it was really, really cool guy. And he would, I was working the overnight shift at the time, and he'd bring in the smoker like at, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And he'd load up all the meat on there and he'd build the fire and he'd get it going. I'd come in around, you know, 11:30 to 11 o'clock and get started with my shift. And he'd be there and he'd ask me, he'd be like, "Hey, wake me up every, you know, 45 minutes to an hour." I'm like, "Okay, I can do that if you want me to." And then at some point in the night, he'd say, "Okay, we can go 90 minutes. Wake me up in 90 minutes. Okay, cool." And he'd just go through the whole night. And that was my job, was to wake him up. Well, and as he was doing this, he'd ask me, he's like, "Hey, come here, help me flip these." And he'd be doing like, you know, five or six Boston butts or something like that. And so he'd explain to me what he was doing. So I feel pretty confident in my ability to produce a delicious smoked meat without a Traeger. I can't produce any more children. Without going into too much detail, but I think you all know what that means.
No, I have no idea. let's see. Okay, all of these questions I thought were actually pretty good. So we'll definitely need to go back and catalog them for when we do the full-on actual Ask an Ashramon live stream thing.
Sounds good.
But this one is from Hot Morshadi. What are your thoughts on the recent Twitter of Time flare-up between multiple parties?
Okay, I heard from someone else that there's been a huge flare-up as well. I didn't see in it. I didn't see it.
So the
Experience it. I didn't know what
the
was
one
going
I'm
on.
Thinking of, if it's the same one, stemmed from. It seems like almost every month or two. We have Twitter Time has a big discussion on between the people that really like Egwene and the people that really don't like Egwene.
Ah.
And somebody referenced Egwene. It's not me. This is that person's tweet that I can't exactly read because I don't have it. But they basically called Egwene a bitch.
Okay.
And where plenty of people have done this in the past, and it's been done pretty regularly, like describing her antics early on as like being bitchy or something like that. Whoever might would do that.
Yep.
This time it struck a very, very hard chord, especially amongst the, what's the best way to describe it? Like, is it something that is politically correct, socially acceptable to call a female character a bitch or not?
Okay.
And that's most of what I saw from it. I steered as far away from it as I could because it was not a discussion I wanted to be involved with.
Right. And let me just say too, that I do try to avoid such conversations as well, because when I'm on Twitter, I'm not there to represent a political agenda or opinion. I'm not there to represent or champion any causes. I guess occasionally we do, like with the Wada Holiday kind of thing. Having said that, there are two main things when it comes to
things that we certainly
online.
Believe, but we don't bring
yes,
the political and
absolutely.
Societal stuff into the podcast.
Right. And we do this, and that's the thing, is that a lot of people would not realize that Daniel, Andrew, and myself have very different political and societal opinions. And we've had private conversations just as friends where we've discussed some of these differences and things like that. But when it comes to these types of conversations, especially with social media, I remember two things. First off, I believe very firmly in free speech. Okay. Very firmly in that. As Voltaire said, "I abhor what you say, but I will defend till my death your right to say it, because that's a very, very important aspect. So is it tasteful to get on Twitter and say so-and-so's a bitch or so-and-so's a dick or so-and-so's a blah, 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 blah? Absolutely not. Like, maybe there are better ways to express that. And I teach, and that's what I try and teach my children as well. When you're expressing yourself, yeah, sure, it's easy to be like, yeah, what the fuck? And I don't reprimand my children when they swear, because I believe it's more important to teach them that there are a time and a place in which that's appropriate.
Which is not the upbringing I had. And it was like,
or the one that I had.
I was there, like the first time or two, it kind of shocked me. But like at the same time, I'm a big proponent of, if you're not the one raising the children, then 90% of the time, shut your mouth. If it's something that's obviously like horrible for a child, then yeah, say something. But I don't think that's horrible for a child.
So keeping all this in mind is sort of a framework for my opinion when it comes to these types of flare-ups on social media. I look at it like this. It takes 2 seconds of my time to go and scroll right past it. And then guess what? My day's not ruined because I got into an argument with someone over something that ultimately isn't going to make any difference in their mind or in their heart. I now am free from any possible accusation or guilt in adding fuel to a fire that is just going to keep going. My comments will not contribute to somebody else's bad day. I do not agree with virtually everybody on everything. I will tell you that right now. And I have opinions that if I express them, you guys would be like, oh, I didn't know you felt that way. I know.
Unsubscribe.
Because I don't share those opinions because that, frankly, they're none of your business. There are things that I share with people I'm very, very close to. There are things that I don't share with anyone that I just keep to myself. And I think that's appropriate and I think that's healthy. But again, that's my opinion. I could be wrong. And most likely I am. Let's face it. I'm wrong a lot.
Just part of our shtick is being wrong frequently.
So. Right?
I mean,
but no, when it comes to those kinds of things, man, just scroll past it. Honestly, nobody's mind was changed. Is it appropriate to call a woman a bitch? Guess what? All the people who think it's okay still think it's okay. And all the people who think it's not okay still think it's not okay. So all that was accomplished was stress and drama and bad feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very much in the overall same camp as you are with that. Very much with the quote you brought up. I mean, and that's kind of something that may be partially instilled by our service. You know, every time somebody brings it up, I think of like Vietnam soldiers that were just following orders,
right?
Doing what their job was to do. And of course, there's the obvious clapback of like, well, all the Nazi soldiers were just doing what they were told to do. And I'm like, well, yeah. And you're always going to have situations like that. But regardless of whether you hate me or love me, I'm still going to be willing to defend your right to say what you want to say. And be a part of the discussion until the day I die. I don't think anybody should be silenced or canceled just because they have a difference of opinion.
Absolutely.
That being said, I think that there are things that I wouldn't want to see as part of the mainstream discussion. And someone in the chat here brought up a very good point that what made a lot of it so bad was it devolved into mudslinging rather than discourse. And it's whenever things go to like that, to where if I'm in a debate with somebody about a topic and they just start attacking me or my upbringing or stuff like that, they're not even talking about the argument. You know, they're making all these phallic, and I don't mean penis shaped. I mean, like, felonious. Is that a word? They're using all these logical fallacies to go off of it and about the discussion. Then to me, it's no longer a discussion that I even want to be a part of. And generally, I will remove myself from the discussion, because people that are already devolving into mudslinging stuff, you're not going to change anybody's opinion. You're not going to change anybody's name. All it does is offend people and put everybody on the offensive or defensive, and it gets us nowhere. And I'd like to think that the fandom on Twitter is far better than that overall. Doesn't mean that it never happens, but I don't think it's something that we really should be focusing on more than saying, like, look, say you can say what you want to say. Nobody can stop you from that. But if it gets into a discussion where you're just attacking each other, then that's a good signal that you all should just stop the discussion. Because on Twitter, there's this amazing thing you can do. And I don't know how many people know about this. It's almost like it's a core feature of Twitter where you can mute and block people that make you feel that way.
That's
where
true.
You don't have to see it. You can cater your Twitter experience to what you want to see. And yep. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Cater yep. your online experiences when you can to avoid that kind of stuff.
You should
still expose yourself to other points of view and other thoughts.
Yes.
But at the point where it becomes toxic and destructive, then yeah, I think by all means, I've said it before on Twitter and I maintain it and I will always do it. I don't care what side of what political or social spectrum you're on. If you post anything that is 100% exclusionary to another group, that's not within reason. Like if you're like racist or terrible, fully with you. But if you're like, you don't agree with me that blue is the best color in the world, and if you don't, then you're not welcome around here, then I'm going to block you because I don't deal with exclusionary people. That's not justified. And obviously being exclusionary towards like racists and bigots and people like that are more than justified.
I think it's important to remember too that, you know, we talk a lot on the show about, you know, we have diverse opinions. Don't be afraid to discuss different things with people. That's fine. But, you know, be, you know, have some wisdom, have some temperance and prudence with that. You know, is this a conversation where you're going to be able to get in, exchange facts, and be able to walk away going, huh, I learned something new? Or is this going to be a conversation where you're going to say, well, you're wrong because, yeah. Well, no, you're wrong because the second you start laying down an ultimatum of you're wrong because, conversation's over. It's no longer a conversation. Now it's two people preaching at each other louder and louder and louder until feelings are hurt and flare-ups happen. So yeah. I guess as for the main takeaway, Twitter of time, you guys are awesome. You really are. We love interacting with you. We love the Loony Theories. We love the Wheel of Time dance party. We love all kinds of this fun stuff. But when it comes to, you know, getting into these arguments and getting into these flare-ups, hey, some people thrive in that. And I'm not even going to say don't do it, because some people like it. Some people enjoy that. That's why they're on social media. Cool.
You're an individual. Make your own decisions.
Power to you, man.
Be prepared for the consequences.
But if you don't want to participate in that, if one of the things I've done, because there have been some times where I've felt sucked in, like where I'm like, oh my God, I have to do this. I've typed out my response and been like, okay, listen here, buddy. You suck. And your mother is a grease trap cleaner at Waffle House. Like,
your mother was a hamster and your father smelled the elderberries.
Is that I've typed it out, I get it off my chest, then I delete it and I move on with my day. It's not anything you're required to participate in.
And hate to spoil this for anybody that thought that maybe this was the case, the whole men is a lamp thing doesn't actually trigger me or piss me off. I just think it's funny to be like that whenever anybody says it.
It do be like that though.
I don't get me wrong. I vehemently disagree with you, but I respect your right to say that. You know, you have a right to be as right or wrong as you choose to be.
That's right.
And in that That's case, right. you choose to be wrong. Country. It's fine. You can do what you
it's
want.
It's okay. You can be wrong. We will allow you to be wrong.
All right. So final question of the segment before we move on to the actual episode. What are the plans for BTP season 3?
That's a good question.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, there's going to be some
some production values that we're going to look into. Not saying Andrew does not do an amazing job, because he does. He does an absolutely fantastic job. I screw up
all the fucking time.
But like my, you know, my setup right here, I'm gonna be doing some office upgrades to make sure that I'm a little bit more presentable. I think you know, we're already testing the waters with aspects like BTP Reacts, which if you guys haven't seen that, you should go to YouTube. You should go to our YouTube channel and look up BTP Reacts. We talk about different things that is exclusively on YouTube. So go watch that. That's a lot of fun. But there are other segments that we've thought about having. Obviously, the Gathering Madness will be a good platform for us to roll out some of these features for the future. And
that is like our transition point.
I don't want to give it away because it's spoilers. And I see through you, Rob. Mm-hmm. I see you. You think you slick. You think you sneaky. But you ain't getting spoilers from us, buddy.
Yeah. It'll just be interesting to see what we can do, because we can tell you that season 2 will not be 2 years long like season 1 was.
That's true. Tell you that.
So after the Gathering Madness every year, so after the October 18th-ish time frame, depending on what weekends that falls on, there will be a new season. And whatever is new or is changed or is different about that will be announced then. And if we have other people involved with it before, like we have been talking with Unraveling the Pattern or Lauren for at least a month or two before season 2, yeah. You know, he did our fantastic intro. And what the video that we're using for outro.
Yes.
So basically did our intro and outro for season 2. But obviously that big move was to incorporate video into this and to do more on YouTube, so the people that watch on YouTube don't just stare at a static image, but it's not so taxing and involved to where if you're not watching the screen, you're going to be lost. It's still, it's like a video cast rather than just a podcast. Even though occasionally we will throw some visuals in there. I'm hoping to grow in what I can do with editing. There's always a desire for our setup and quality to be better and to get better. Though I'm not sure if you want to see this face in 4K or not, because I don't. So, but you'll just have to wait and see, much like we will, because we honestly haven't talked a ton about it. Because we just started season 2. So.
But the rollouts are, I can say this, the rollouts are going great with season 2. We've had a lot of fun learning a lot of new things, incorporating like our website. You know, that's a new thing. That's a product of season 2. Doing the videos, that's a product of season 2. So we're going to be experimenting throughout the year. So if you see something you like, let us know. You know, leave a comment. Shoot us a message, say, hey, I thought that was awesome. Can you guys do more of that? And, you know, that will help us evolve. Feedback is always, always encouraged, and we are always grateful to receive it.
Yeah, and if you guys have ideas, especially you guys, the live listeners, you know, we try to interact with the chat as much as we can while recording. There's only so much that we can do without it making the recording too weird. For, you know, public release and that kind of stuff. But even on Patreon, you have access to send us direct messages, as well as you can on Twitter. You can, I think, with at least most of us on Discord, all that kind of stuff. If you have ideas for things that we can do better, we always encourage constructive criticism. And if there's something that just doesn't work, that you don't like, that you think we did bad on, just let us know.
Yep.
And we do ask that if we do something bad, that you do try to suggest a solution. And if you can't, we'd rather know that something maybe wasn't great rather than just you not say anything because you don't have a potential solution. We're not going to sit there and be like, how dare you be a complainer and not a solver. Like that's not the point. So,
yep. So we appreciate it. And honestly, the show is where it is because you guys are here helping us out with it. We love the Wheel of Time. We love talking about the Wheel of Time. And we love interacting and playing with you guys when it comes to the Wheel of Time. So, hell yeah.
Yep. So
good questions, all of them. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Those are fantastic.
Yeah. I know there were some we didn't get to. We'll catalog all the questions. We'll go back and we'll probably get rid of the ones we have already answered, just so that leaves as much room as possible. And whenever we do that live stream, we will definitely make sure that everybody, as much as we can, knows about it. So getting into the actual meat and potatoes of the episode, which is fairly far into the episode as everybody is listening, there's some quick plugs we have to do. Make sure you head on over to thegreatblight.com and check out the amazing list of content creators that are there. There's tons of YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, trivia, all kinds of amazing content creators you can find on thegreatblight.com that are all over the place. So go and check that out.
Amazing. All of them.
As well as an ever-developing wiki that you can play a part in helping develop by contacting the team and offering your services, as well as pointing out things that you see may be problematic or there may be issues here and there. They definitely do encourage and appreciate that. So head over and check that out. When you're done with that and you suddenly feel that the overall vibe in your room or your house maybe just isn't where you want it, and you want some stuff to put around your house that will help cleanse the air and induce positive vibes and energy, you know, maybe you just got done watching a Twitter feud and you're just like, this room is just too toxic.
Sage!
I am not going to recommend putting these directly in your computer because different materials and minerals interact differently with electricity and ionized air. But you can head on over to the lovely Crystal Barista's shop and find all of your crystal and mineral and just fancy rock needs, as well as some dope subscription boxes that are guaranteed to keep Josh super busy the first part of every month and most of December.
Yes, please subscribe. It's my favorite thing. No, each box is quite literally handcrafted. Adrian will select each stone, put it in a bag with a label. There's usually another thing in there. If you're looking for a subscription box because you want to increase your collection or learn more about rocks and minerals, it's really the best way to go. So you know someone who wants to start learning about rocks and minerals, maybe a kid who's shown an interest in it, get them a subscription box, man. It's the gift that gives all year.
It's amazing. Does she have any shipping limitations?
I think she does have a limitation on how many subscriptions she has, but she did just switch platforms. So I believe there are openings.
Okay. Because one of our lovely chef talented UK peoples was wondering if
all
she ships abroad.
Over the world, wherever there are not legal tariffs and whatnot.
So the main kind of limiting factor may be on the subscription boxes, but for like individual orders, she ships worldwide.
Absolutely.
All right.
And even we do even have subscription boxes. We've sent them to Canada before. And I think we even sent things to Australia as well. So
much like our own merch shop, which is fulfilled by Spreadshirt. That has worldwide shipping, and I know for a fact we have sent stuff to Australia and a couple other countries as well.
And so, we've just expanded our merch. So we've got our regular merch shop at our website at blacktowerpod.com. Just click the merch link. It goes to our merch store. But we've got another one. We're a part of the Frosted Mug Society, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to newcreationsbygen.com and look up the Black Tower Podcast, there we are in all our glory. We got our frosty mugs. We got our shot glasses. We got all kinds of stuff. And soon to be more designs coming.
Oh, yeah. And if you have ideas for designs, feel free to send them to us.
We'll take those too.
Even if it's just concept art for us to work from, we'll be ever grateful. And you'll definitely get a nice shout out. And we'll figure out the logistics with you. We're not just going to like, oh, cool, this is mine now.
Yeah. It's like what we did with our chibis. We actually did commission those for the purpose of of marketing and selling those. So
yeah,
it's good times. We will make sure that we are duly compensating you for your work.
Yep. Something else that is coming up, even if you are listening to this when it's publicly available on Christmas or the 25th of December, whatever day it is for you, in a week-ish time frame, I think literally 6 days time frame. 6 days from the date this goes public. So I'm talking about the 31st of December, as the calendar states, based off of, I believe, Eastern time. Yes, Eastern time. Starting at 9 p.m. Eastern on New Year's Eve, Jen and Jess with the White Tower Podcast are doing their New Year's Jingle Jam 2020.
Absolutely.
If you've been paying attention on Twitter, you will have seen their announcement that we will be stopping by at some point during the whole event to say hi and cheers out this shitty, dark one touched bubble of evil fucking mess of 2020.
Because if there's one thing that can bring an end to this year, it's the White Tower and the Black Tower working together. Maybe we could send them some of our shot recipes from the Gathering Madness, and we could have a couple shots with them.
Good. Try to keep them the ones that use the same alcohols, because I'm going to have to buy this to do this here. I don't have an Adrian to make the shots and stuff for me. And little as I can have to buy the
butter. We'll maybe do a poll and put it on Twitter. So you know what, everybody? Well, by the time you hear this, we will have already had the poll.
Or you can just wait and do the poll then.
Yeah, but I had ADD, like, bad. I can say, hold on. When's this going to be going live? 25th?
Yep.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make an appointment for myself on the 25th. Everybody who's listening to this right now is like, dude, we don't care. Okay, reminder. Make Twitter poll
dance
to see
for my entertainment
which shot we should take on New Year's. Bam, done. So now I have a reminder.
It may be a holiday that we're celebrating, but we can always carve out the 5 minutes at most it'll take to put out a poll. And it'll probably be up for at least a full day or so. Don't know. We'll see. Because it's pretty easy for me to tell these episodes go live on the day. So yes. I can literally do it from my phone, I think.
So So look for that. Probably Christmas evening. I'll throw that out there. I'll probably do it for more than a day, maybe a couple days, just to give people enough time to react to it. So when you guys see this, when you're listening and you see this, check our Twitter feed for that poll and tell us which shot you'd like us to do. I still got all the. I actually got all the recipes. Oh, that brings up another thing. The winners of the shot competition. You have not received your swag yet. I promise. I have not forgotten about you.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's received their Gathering Madness.
We got. We did get Daniel's prize. It is here. I just need his address.
So, like I said, nobody's gotten any of their.
Yeah.
Their stuff yet.
Yep.
Like, we kind of can't count ourselves because, like, I won the archery contest by some weird stroke of luck. And I had a fiberglass splinter in my thumb that I had to fight to get out for the next 2 days.
That's so awesome.
But yeah.
Anyway, you guys are the best. Is that doing for our plugs?
Yeah, I think that's with the Gather Madness, all that's still being worked on. The recipes, the booklet and all that. All of you patrons, that is still coming.
It is, I promise.
It's all being worked on. Just there's a lot of delays. Ashaman's honor. Yeah, there's a lot of delays. Our sponsor for that, our ongoing sponsor and the sponsor for the Gathering Madness event is obviously very busy throwing rocks all around the world. So
literally.
Yeah. So please bear with us. And at any time, you can feel free to ask us what the status is. And we'll kick Josh in the back so that he can humbly ask the Crystal Barista to give us an update on that. But it is still working. It's still coming like still a coming. Pig orgasm on steroids. It's Ayo. Still coming. I feel dirty just for saying that.
You should.
Yeah, well.
You big dirty man, you.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Anyway.
finally, on to the actual topic of this episode. Spoiler warning first, because we didn't do it.
Spoiler warning, yeah. Spoiler warning. Got ourselves a spoiler warning.
Let me pull this fantastic thing up so that I can play it, and I will probably insert it closer to the beginning of the actual episode. So this is mainly for our live listeners. But here is your spoiler warning.
Welcome to the Black Tower. This is your spoiler condom. If you have not read the complete works of Robert Jordan, The Wheel of Time, books 1 to 14, and also New Spring, big bad book of white arts, and The Companion, you are at risk of being spoiled. Spoilers come with side effects. These side effects may include headache, nausea, vomiting, death, dizziness, vaginal or penile eruptions and ejaculations, dysentery, cardiac arrhythmia, mild heart explosions, varicose veins, darkened stool, darkened souls, more vomiting, arthritis, hemorrhoids or diabetes, virginity, mild discomfort, vampirism or werewolfism, gender inequality for the whole planet, spontaneous dental hydroplosion, sugar highs, even more vomiting, or maybe just a mild rash. If you cannot deal with these side effects, please leave now. For fear of spoilers, you have been warned.
So, Andrew, that means you have to leave. What? Otherwise, you will be solely responsible for gender inequality for the whole planet.
You are not right.
Is that what's wrong?
It's all my fault, guys.
So today's topic is more.
I shouldn't be
wearing
this shirt right now because this isn't a victory. I should say defeat is mine.
Victory is mine.
I win again, lose Theron. Tell her,
yeah, baby. That's going to be the new one. I win again, lose Theron. So today we're discussing what happens after the last battle, man.
More specifically than that, we are talking about the roles and duties that people will have after or into the fourth age.
Right.
We already know that that Mandarb's role is to impregnate Bella, and they have offspring, so that happens.
They have super creator babies.
Super creator babies.
That's right.
So that happens. It's in the companion. Don't try to fight it.
That's canon.
That's canon. To appease all the people that didn't want Bella to die, but she was forced to written as if she died, but didn't die.
She's so the creator. Happens. She can't die.
But, yeah. So we've talked a little bit in various platforms, and we've done it so much. I can't remember how much I've done on Black Tower Podcast, and which has been in like discussion rooms and on other platforms, about the roles of the different Ajahs in the White Tower. And that, just talking about theirs alone, would be an entire episode by itself.
Yeah.
So
I think
just an overarching like roles for the White Tower and then for the Black Tower. Do you think we can overarch what the roles would be for both?
I think we can, because
I think they would honestly have the same roles ultimately.
I think everybody, yeah. I think everybody likes to go immediately to the Red Aja, because the Red Aja for centuries has been tasked with keeping the world safe by removing men who can channel from the equation. It's not a pretty job. It's not a fun job. It's not a happy job. But it's a necessary job, or at least it's necessary according to their capability. The issue we have is that Sidene is cleansed. Taint is no longer a threat to the world.
Don't take my taint.
Men can now channel without fear of going mad and killing everything and everyone they love. So I think the early people who don't think about it too much would say that, well, the Red Aja should be disbanded now because there's not a job for them. And I would disagree. We already know we have Pavara, who is smart, capable, and amazing. She is very, very well-versed in dueling other channelers. So men who can channel, she's at the Black Tower. They get attacked by men who can channel, men who've been turned by Taim. She was able to hold her own, even though the men could channel more Sidene than she could Sidar, and there were more of them. She held her own pretty easily for a pretty good amount of time, because that's what the Red Aja does. So the Red Aja could be tasked to work with Ashaman, like Pravara and Andral do, where they're bonded, or not even necessarily with bonding. It could be that they work with, you know, training with Ashaman or training Ashaman to use, you know, their weaves together, maybe to help, you know, if they, you know, Lord Dragon forbid, they go into another, you know, war type scenario and they have to fight against other channelers.
I just had a brain blast.
Oh, brain blast. Blast it.
Based off of that idea, what if the Red Aja is now the main Aja that works with the Black Tower in how to just work with Aes Sedai in like diplomatic ways and non like combative type of weaving?
Exactly.
And but then
exactly
the Green Aja is the one that comes over and they do all the training to train the Black Tower Ashaman and soldiers and dedicated on how to fight in combat with the Aes Sedai, and they're like the bridging trainers between the two.
Right. So you're still going to have the whites who are going to hide in their logic corners. The browns are still going to be buried in books. Like the fourth age isn't going to matter too much to them. The browns would want to catalog and record everything, of course. Save everything for posterity kind of a thing. The White Aja, you know, they might poke and prod at some of the diplomatic procedures that have happened. The Yellows, they're going to probably, they would probably have an envoy to the Black Tower as well to learn from Flynn and probably set up a gar, as I've started referring to it as. Gar is old tongue for weapon. And so instead of Ajas, we have gars. And so, you know, you've got the Yellow Aja that helps set up triage and, you know, procedure to help the Black Aja, or the Black Aja, to the Black Tower streamline its triage type scenarios. I mean, there's a lot of good uses, but for the most part, the only one whose tasks really have to change is the Red Aja. They have to readjust their paradigm of existence.
Yeah. And I mean, and I very much back the idea. I mean, if we follow the logic of the cyclical nature, the fucking round nature of time that the Wheel of Time puts forward, is that eventually you're not going to have a White Tower and a Black Tower. You're just going to have a place like Paradeeson where it's just channelers all working together underneath the same name, underneath the same roofs, doing a lot of the same stuff. You might have this group that specializes in this and this group that specializes in that. Obviously, you had, what was the name of the school where all the studies happened, where they discovered the new source of power? What was that called?
It was like Rand's school that he set up in
Carrion. No, not Rand's, during the Age of Legends.
Oh.
Oh, what was it?
I don't know. I don't know either. To the Google.
Dom. There you go.
Yes.
So it was a good time to ask because I know more Shadi's listening. So you're going to have that. That will probably encompass like people that identify with the white Aja, with the gray Aja, with the brown Aja, all working together and doing that. And, you know, they'll have a spackling of people that identify with the blue Aja that come through, or call them Dawn.
Right.
Sorry. So I fully think that's what's going to happen. It's not going to happen in the fourth age. I don't think it might start to towards the end. It might be that founding that brings us out of the fourth age, but I highly doubt it. I don't see that happening until the fifth or sixth age. And then I see it as being something that happens more as a consequence of technological advancement as technologies get better and you develop things like gasoline and fuel sources and stuff like that, that you people steer away from magic and more into science and using the elements of the world and what they have to offer. Because to me, I see it, there's an age that comes around where all that's left behind. You don't use petroleum products and that kind of stuff anymore.
Right.
Because it's just not feasible and you've discovered better power sources, which is, you know, just using the one power again. That's kind of how I think it goes. But yeah,
I can see that.
So
I can see that. And a reunification of the towers, like, eventually makes sense. I think that you're going to have to go through a couple of Mihails, though, before that's really an option. I don't know that even Loghain, as he heals emotionally, I don't think he's going to be ready for that.
Oh, no.
And, you know, that the leader sets a tone for the culture that is going to be there. And I think that it's going to take some time for them. Now, there could even be, as part of a reunification effort, there could be a, you know, they start doing like a swap over, like a couple of Ashman train at the White Tower, a couple of Aes Sedai train at the Black Tower, maybe even a set of a third neutral site where they can live and work together and learn how to, you know, team up in the better, more efficient ways. I don't know. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It would take a long time, though. A long time.
Oh, yeah. I had a thought and it just left me. Anyway.
I hate it when that happens.
Oh, yeah. That's it. And that's what we spend a lot of our time discussing is, you know, what things change for the Chandlers going into the new fourth age, or the old fourth age, whatever you want to call it. But we don't spend a whole lot of time really talking about what happens for the rest of the world. Because you still have this empire built by Rand as the dragon, where
essentially, yeah,
you know, he controls Tyr, he controls Ilion. Until Elaine takes over, he controlled Andor and Carrion and all these places, which we know. Elaine has now essentially in all but physical landmass, I guess, even though they're, you know, close, you still have the unification of Andor and Kyrian, which I know Andor is the overall landmass and Kyrian is one city because I can't remember what the landmass is called. But she essentially unifies that and has children that are going to propagate that through or have other noble families. I do foresee that breaking down again. We know that it has to eventually. I think it might last through most of the fourth age. I don't think it'll last far beyond that. Everybody will get more used to the IL being around as part of the Dragon's Peace, them being the arbiters of disputes and that kind of stuff, trying to keep war and conflict down to a minimum. We know that eventually that has to break down. The wars are going to happen again.
Right.
I think we see with Perrin's role as Lord of the Two Rivers, I think we'll see that as an eventual reestablishment of Manetherin, or whatever it's going to be called in its new thing. It's going to become its own central fortress city. Maybe somebody else will settle and rebuild what will eventually become Shadar Logoth again. Don't know. Hopefully they avoid that, but.
Well, and that's what they say, that even myth has long faded when the age that gave it birth returns. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. No, you've got several thousand years in between ages. So, yeah it's going to be, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah. I mean, we have this tendency to kind of fall back on Avienda's visions of the fourth age and beyond to kind of gauge what's going to happen. And it is good because it gives us an idea of what things could happen, but that's also in a future with the Seanchan and the IL not included in the Dragon's Piece, which could still very much be very close to the future that actually is going to happen. a lot of it just depends on when and how strongly the Dragon's Piece is honored and kept, right. Which I think it'll be fairly strongly honored and kept through the Fourth Age.
I feel like it will be, with the exception of the Seanchan. I feel like if there's anyone in the, even the Carrionan people aren't dumb enough to muck with that, especially not them, because as devious and sly and crafty as they are, they're still terrified of Aiel.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. I think if there's anyone that's going to muck with the Dragon's Piece, it's going to be the Seanchan. Because of everybody who was there, they are the ones who were signed under the most amount of duress and with the least amount of respect and awe for the dragon. And they're the ones that are the most bombastic, the most aggressive, the most pushy, and they've got some really horrible views that aren't going to be okay for people. And that's what makes Avienda's vision so compelling, is she even says when she's going through the columns, she's like, we're doing the right thing. We're doing everything we should do. Why are we losing? And she is terrified to think that they might have to change and not live by Geato, because living by Geato is the extinction of her people. So it's a real difficult decision for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah. Cause you don't know how long, the relationship of Matt now being the Prince of Ravens and all is going to last as far as mitigating conflicts with the Westlands. I think it's probably pretty safe to assume that he's going to go back with Tuan into the Seanchan Empire and rule the armies from there. They'll have children and everything, and they'll still be indoctrinated with the legacy of Alter Hawkwing. That, you know, these were our lands. And anytime there was ever a discussion of these used to be our lands, there's always a desire to go and reclaim them one way or another.
Yes.
I think the joint Aes Sedai are going to be the main reason why that doesn't happen for a while. Just because of how massive of a proven force they are. I mean, you had several links whenever the Seanchan attacked the already broken and very minimally manned White Tower that were, once they started being counterattacked, were very easily pushed back.
Yes.
By mostly in part by Egwene. So you have
it's that. It's a very Pearl Harbor-esque attack. Mm-hmm. It was a hit and run. They wanted to test and see what the White Tower was looking like.
Yeah.
And another point that was brought up in the chat is that Matt did ask Hawkwing to go speak with Tuan. Now, we don't get to see that conversation. We don't know if Hawkwing only bolstered Tuan's beliefs or maybe he's gonna help chill her out a little bit and be like, okay, for real.
I think he's gonna help bolster, because I don't see, nor can I think of any reason for him to feel any differently about the Aes Sedai now than he did during his time alive.
I could see that.
I could see the most of him doing being like, look, these are different people, different group. Let's see what they do. But if they start abusing themselves, getting full of themselves, that kind of stuff, then I entrust you as my descendants to rein them in and usher in an era of peace, because that was a lot of what Ultra Hawkwing did, mostly successfully. And we see the tactics of the Shanchan Empire is very similar, at least in terms of the results, from what Ultra Hawkwing got. I mean, in Ultra Hawkwing's empire in the Westlands, a 9-year-old boy could travel coast to coast or end to end with a sack full of gold.
With a fat sack of gold.
And never be touched. And you see the same thing within the Shanchan culture. So I could see that also being that the Aes Sedai start failing. They're not watching over the world like they should be. People are plunging into chaos again. The Shanchan see them as failing. And they think it's, okay, well, this is our committed resolve to come in and restore order. And then you have a rebirth, of Alter Hawkwing's empire, which may be where Alter Hawkwing's empire kind of started, to begin with. Kind of has to happen that way for things to restart.
Yeah.
And then at some point, somebody has to rebuild all the Shadowspawn because they now have no place of origin. We know that the Blight has to disappear so that it can reappear. So it's kind of one of those things. We broadly know what will probably happen. We just don't know the specifics of it and the journey from Third Age back to First and Second Age.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other things, though, is what's Rand going to do? This one really kind of gets inside my head, because what's he going to do? I can't imagine any type of scenario where he injects himself into any type of decision making ever again. Like I want to say that he finds a nice quiet farm somewhere and just lives out his days. Not even in the Two Rivers, but he's still Rand, and you know, he's still got that Luce Theron-ness about him. So as he hears about tragedy, I can't imagine him being able to ignore it. So there's got to be some type of happening there.
Maybe not the Rand that we know, but this version of Rand is very different. Because this is a Rand that has gone through his Enlightenment-esque episode on Dragonmount. He has seen what would happen if he destroyed the Dark One. This is a very much more focus on the overall world and that things have to be certain ways for reasons. So I could see him not liking what's happening, but I don't know how much he's actually going to interject himself to try to fix anything that's going wrong. Because if things are always good, then you have no real reference on, well, what is actually good and what's bad. So I think this is a Rand that recognizes that bad things have to happen to keep a metric and frame for what is good. So I think there's a very likely point that there's a lot of things that do happen bad that Rand doesn't interfere with. I mean, Avienda saw that pretty early on after the last battle. Elaine is either assassinated or abdicates the throne. And that's something that I don't see Rand interfering with. Even with his, I believe, still continuing love of Elaine, it might be one of those things where he's like, rulers have to come and go.
Yeah.
Things happen. People have to learn and make their own mistakes.
And I guess a lot of that depends on just how his perspective has changed. Because as we know, he has like a ridiculous amount of knowledge in that brain now, as well as his weird abilities to manipulate reality itself. So yeah, it's interesting. I feel like that's a real wild card in any given scenario. Mm-hmm. Anytime you talk about the Fourth Age, you almost get some Nakomi-style vibes from it, right?
That's what I keep thinking. Does Does this maybe version someone of Ran become Nokomi?
And that's the thing is, Nokomi's an example of this person who has all this power and all this amazingness, who largely avoids getting entangled in these situations, but still shows up every once in a while to give a little nudge or a little bit of encouragement or something along those lines. And I feel like that is Rand. And I feel like if there were ever any Fourth Age books or movies or TV shows or something like that, it would be incomplete without that crazy old guy who just showed up out of nowhere and, you know, almost Master Yoda-esque. I don't know. That's a good, that's a fun line of thought to go down. I really like that. So you got Rand as the wild card. You've got the Sean Chan, the most likely aggressors.
Most likely naughty boys.
The naughtiest boys. You got the Red Aja that needs to wildly change what they're doing. And I guess for like a final kind of a point, the one thing that I would bring up is the Black Tower itself looking for a way to fit into the world. What's its role now that the last battle is over? What do we do? What, I mean, obviously now we're a club for people who can channel. Cool. What are we supposed to do with that? And I think that's where a lot of coaching and mentoring from the White Tower is going to happen in, you know, maybe separating up into different groups as well.
I mean, because we know with the formation of the White Tower that way back there weren't all these different Ajahs. They didn't exist. Right. Is that
they were all just Aes Sedai.
Yeah, and then it became, after the breaking of the world, I believe, it became collections of Aes Sedai, female Aes Sedai, that came together out of common interest. Well, we want to help and advise, you know, nations on what they should do, their diplomacy, that kind of stuff. Well, all these guys or this group is doing horrible stuff. We want to focus on combating that and doing better things for the world. And that's really how all the Ajahs came to be.
Right.
So I think you're going to have that in a, once we come around to the Second Age again, that's all going to happen again. Because if you think about it, if the bore into the Dark One's prison happened in the Second Age, and then the end of the Third Age is when it gets this perfect seal after an imperfect seal from the Second Age.
Right.
Then there's a very, honestly, what we've read from the books encompasses a very, very small portion of overall time. It's a very small, very, honestly, in the overall of all the ages, insignificant portion of time. Still significant events, but.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, because this is that's the point in the Wheel of Time where things would have to change to break the cycle.
Right.
Yeah, and I think this is how the Dark One's happened.
Plan.
Yeah, but I think this is how it's kind of always happened. So
yeah, it'll be fun to see, or it is fun to imagine Black Tower and Andor, and sort of a friction between those two, because I mean basically the Black Tower is on a patch of Andor and they're kind of claiming independent reign, but not really independent reign because they're still subjects of the crown in Andor. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic there because there's going to be the queen pushing to make sure, okay, now you know that you're my subjects. And then the Black Tower is going to be saying, yes, we are, but we're not going to just jump at your beck and call. We are the Black Tower. We don't answer to anyone. So it'll be fun to see that power dynamic play out as well. I think eventually they're going to have to work out a deal where the Black Tower is sovereign while on the tower grounds or something like that. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. And that might be the catalyst for the recombining of the towers.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's interesting. Interesting.
We will see.
I can't think of anything else that I just really significantly want to see in the Fourth Age.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe a Joker.
I mean, it's just one of those things that we have ideas of how things are going to progress from our own history, because we see a ton of parallels from our own history with the Wheel of Time.
It's true.
But you're also getting into the start of that unknown time frame. Nobody knows what has happened before, because even bits of information from the First Age are very obscure relics, you know, like the Apollo landing and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, and like, they even talk about the Tiran Grial that uses the air, the weaves over the air that you don't have to even be a channeler to use. Like, is that a cell phone? Mm-hmm. That sounds like a damn cell phone. Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for being here. Andrew, thank you for powering through your absolutely horrible condition. I hope that you get better soon.
I mean, I don't think it's absolutely horrible. I've had worse, but
no, strep sucks. I hate strep. It is the bane of all existence.
Well, if you have a strep throat, I don't see any branding on this, but Sepracol.
There it is.
Or any throat lozenge that has benzocaine in it.
It's really there good. It is, ladies and gentlemen. Benzotane, the official drug of the Black Tower Podcast.
It's a good agent for numbing your throat and the sides of your mouth and your tongue.
So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are awesome. We love you. We love that you're here. If you're seeing this video and you think it's awesome, leave a comment and say, hey, you guys are awesome. If you watch this video or listen to this podcast and you think it sucked, leave a comment and say, hey, you guys suck. But this is how you can be better. And we will listen to you. And we will love the feedback. You guys are great. You can leave a message on our Twitter feed at Tower Podcast. You can leave it on Instagram. You can leave it here on YouTube. You can leave it here on Podbean. You can leave it on Patreon if you wanted to. It's awesome to be alive. It's a great time to be alive. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Yep. Likewise. Just tell us and let us know what kind of things you want to see us talk about. Improvements either to the show, new topics you want to see us talk about, maybe old topics we've done you want to see us readdress, any of that. We have the rest of our lives to do this stuff. So, yeah, let us know. But I think that is going to do it for this kind of wonky, weird episode.
It is.
It's a weird week. Tainty. It is a weird fucking week this week.
But it fits. But you know what? It's Christmas. Merry Christmas to you guys. Hopefully you had a great one. Hopefully you're geared up to have an amazing New Year's. Don't forget to miss a New Year's party with the White Tower as we join forces to be awesome together. And you guys are awesome. And from all of us here at the Black Tower, I have been Josh.
I have been Andrew. Daniel has been in here in spirit from whatever mode of transportation or whatever modes he is using to get to.
And in case we don't see you again,
good afternoon,
good evening,
and good night.
And good night.
Yeah,
we killed it.